Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. He's turning that which the enemy meant for evil, making it good for us. Causes all things to work together for good. For them who've been called according to his purpose. For them that are walking in a loving relationship with him. My prayer, my declaration over your life today is that whatever the enemy is meant for evil, that God turns it for your good. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for another moment, another time, another now to just experience your loving kindness and your tender mercies, to experience you in a fresh new way, to step beyond that which we know into a realm that is fresh and new in you. Lord God Almighty, you're the God who believes in new seasons. That's why we have a new day. Within every 24 hours, step into a new day. And every day is graced with your presence, your power, your benefits. Lord, oh God, may this day be also a day that you hear a new song from us. We magnify you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Step, O God, into the splendor of your person and we flow under the unction of your anointings, both to hear and to speak the words of faith in Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name. We decree it so. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, in the evening services, we've been talking about destiny, helpers. And tonight we are going to continue with that subject, destiny helpers. But last week we began to explore the aspect of destiny blockers. And we are using the illustration, so to speak, of Nehemiah as he had a destiny helper in Artaxerxes and the destiny blockers. And tonight I want to go into that particular aspect of destiny blockers. I am not going to go as far as what to do ultimately, how you deal with destiny blockers ultimately. I'll get there at some point. But tonight, let us look at the Word of God. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, we're going to take it up from verse 9 to get us started with the general area where we stopped. What we have covered so far is that Nehemiah got connected with his destiny helper, who happened to be the king of the land, and presented his case before the king, and the king, supported him, gave him ear, and did what kings do. gave him the support that he needed so that he could go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had been destroyed. Now, he came about that because he had been asking certain questions. He'd started asking about how the people in Jerusalem were faring. He was okay where he was. He was the cupbearer of the king at his access. Things were fine with him. He was well taken care of and supported. And the reality is, as a cupbearer, the king depended on him greatly because he had to taste the wine that the king was going to drink before the king drank it. Now, you've got to treat that guy very well, because what if he does a switch on you? What if he is the one who can poison you? So you can see that the king will treat him well. So he's well-to-do. But his heart, his passion, which defined his destiny, was not just that he was ministering to the king, but that he was supernaturally positioned to do and play that role, because a greater purpose was birthed within him, and that was in the building of the walls. And we talked about the fact that that which drives you, that which you are passionate about, can be a defining factor on what it is that you are called to do. So many people are doing things that they've not been called to do. You want to be a doctor because everybody says you should be a doctor, but you are petrified when you see blood. That should tell you that that's not your calling. When you see people in pain, you are all in pain. That should tell you. Because you're too close to that situation and you're not aligning. But you see somebody hurting and you want to fix it. You're always trying to fix something. That tells you something about your calling. That's where you're supposed to go. You're always tearing things apart from when you were a little child. You know, somebody gives you a toy and you start breaking it apart, and a computer, you start pulling it apart and then putting it back together. That should tell you. What is it that you're passionate about? But that's not what we're talking about tonight. In Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 9, we are told that the man of God, Nehemiah, he gets letters, he gets all the assistance, he gets all that he needs to cross over the river and to come into the land of Israel, heading to Jerusalem. And the Bible says, "And I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters." Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. So he had an entourage. But while he had an entourage, he also had letters commissioning him to do what he was going to do. And he's getting it from somebody that he should not be getting it from. These Jews, these Israelites, in the mind of the king, should be the enemy. I destroyed them and I want to keep them suppressed. But here is Nehemiah getting information to go help build the city as a destiny helper. He says in verse 10, and these are blockers, he says, when Sanballat the Horonite, saw what was happening, heard of it, the Bible says he was grieved. He was greatly grieved. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the wealth of the children of Israel. He's upset. And he should be. But because your enemy is upset does not mean that you're going to fail. God was in this. And because God is for you, you're going to make it. Amen? Sambalat, which means strength. That's what that name means, strength. The Bible says you've got to bind this strong man. Then you can spoil his house. Sambalat had been in the land and he was in control. The Lord Jesus Christ says, as long as the strong man is in place, he runs the system until a stronger man comes and strips him of his power. My prayer is that you and I will be the stronger one that strips the enemy of his power, of his influence, of his authority, and that we be the ones that establish the flag of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. This man was very upset. It grieved them that somebody came to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. And then verse 11 goes on and tells us, he says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. He came to Jerusalem and he was there in Jerusalem 3 days. This is important because the hint is this. How many of you remember how many days the Lord Jesus Christ was supposed to be in the grave? 3 days. And then he did what? He rose again. The message is this. If you are going to confront your destiny blocker, you have to have resurrection life. You have to be able to die to yourself and be committed not just to yourself, but to the well-being of the whole. You see, destiny helpers are people, or people of destiny, let me put it that way. People of destiny are people who die to themselves. Secondly, are committed to bringing wholeness to the lives of the masses. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did. He came not for himself, but he died to himself. He put aside whatever the issues were to focus on you and I. And so the Bible says he came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And the next verse says this, and arose in the night. Well, guess what? Same thing the Lord did. He arose in the night. Resurrection life. You and I need it if we are going to fulfill our destinies. It is one thing for somebody to help you. It's another thing for you to recognize that you are not there for yourself, but for the well-being of others. Do you know that the one area of business that will always be there is the service industry? You have to be serving somebody. A church that is not there to serve people is a church that is destined to die. If we're just looking for people to come to us so that we just have numbers, then we're not doing what God has called us to. You're called to serve people, to minister to people, to help people, to encourage people, to build their lives. Anyway, let me go on. He says, I arose in the night and he says, I and some few men with me. That's key. I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. So he's come here and he didn't tell anybody. That's the grace of discretion. Sometimes we yap too quickly and we say too much. But this man, he didn't tell anybody. He just had some help, but didn't even tell them what he was going to do, what he was there for. Kept his mouth shut until the right time. If you're going to be a person of destiny, know how to shut your mouth from spreading stuff until you're ready. It's important. Only say what you need to do to people that need to know. Artaxerxes needed to know, but these guys didn't need to know yet. The captains, the soldiers didn't need to know yet. He didn't tell anybody. So how is it that Sanballat and Tobias knew? Well, because things happen in the spirit realm, in the spiritual realm. That's where information is floating, moving. There are people who monitor you in the realm of the spirit to determine what it is. So you see somebody and all of a sudden they just upset and angry at you. You didn't do anything. That's a cue that that person is checking you out in the realm of the spirit. In your office, you go to work. And you come in, and there are people squeezing their faces at you, you know, trying to trip you this way and that way. That person has been checking you out. That's a quick way for you to identify who the enemy is. And they're going to show their hands. He says, I arose in the night and I saw and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. What is that? Watch this. This is important. There are principles here of the kingdom. As you step in your destiny, those around you need to know who is in charge. And he didn't allow any other beast but the beast that he was riding on. That's one principle. Number two principle is this: don't make too much noise. If you're going to be a person of destiny and God has given you something to do, don't attract attention until you are ready. Because the attention you bring to the table confirms to the enemy that whatever it is that they were seeing or looking at in the realm of the spirit, that is going to happen. Until you start showing your hand, they are just guessing. Word of God goes on. This is important. He says, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well. The dragon well. This is the first place. He comes through the gate of the valley. The valley represents a low point. And you, as a person of destiny, might just go through a low point in your life. And you have to deal with the dragon well. What does the well have? Water. And what is this dragon well about? It is the pollution of the enemy that wants to be hauled at you to stop you. And then it says, and to the dung pot. Dung. You know what dung is, right? That's when the enemy throws all kinds of crap at you to accuse you. When you come to a place where the dragon well is speaking, and the enemy is throwing all kinds of things of accusation against you to give you the wrong kind of smell, know that you're on your path. The Bible says it is from this place, from the dragon well and from the dung pot, that he viewed the walls of Jerusalem. He viewed it from the perspective of the lowest point, from the perspective to see what the problem was. You don't fulfill destiny burying your head in the sand. Identify what your problem is. Identify what the situation is, and then make a move. Then it says here, he says, he viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Who's doing this? The enemy. How long has this been going on? For decades upon decades and upon decades. It seemed like the enemy was having the upper hand. But this is what the word of God says. It says, then I went on to the gate of the fountain. Ah. I went on from the dragon well, the dung pot, and I went to the gate of the fountain. This is the place where you are getting pure water. You are filled with the word of God. And to the king's pool. Wow. Do you see the change? If you are going to fulfill your place as a person of destiny, you must make that shift. You identify what the problem is, but you must move on to where you are going to prophesy the purposes of God. But notice this, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. This is a place where the natural isn't going to take you. This is a place where you are moving by the grace of the anointing of the Spirit of God. Understand that Nehemiah was born out there in exile. How does he know these places, having not talked with anybody? Because in the realm of the Spirit, when you're led by the Spirit of God, God will take you from place to place and show you details. He moved in the realm of the Spirit. Yes, it was physical, but this is representing the changes that must take place in your thinking. The mindset must change from the place of fear, defeat, and the stench of dung to the place where you're experiencing the fountain, the springs of favor, and to the king's pool, to the king's pool, to the king's pool. Has there been a king in that place? No, not for decades, not for years. But he was calling the king's pool. Why? Because he's declaring by faith, there is going to be a king here. Let's go on. Then went I up. I thank God for that. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall. He viewed the wall from the dragon well and the dung pot. Now he went up. That's a shift. You've got to make that shift in your business, in your family, in ministry, in every area of your life. Identify the problem and make the shift. If you're going to be a person of destiny, because you see, if you're not a person of destiny, why do you need a helper? Why do you need a helper? But if you're going to fulfill your destiny, you've got to identify the scope of things. Identify the issue. And tonight, I think this is where I'm going to spend most of my time, identifying the issue and then repositioning yourself. It says, I viewed the wall from the brook. And then I turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. These are geographical terms, but there's spiritual connotations attached to what we're talking about. That's what I want you to see. It says, and the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Nor to the rest that did the work. Wait a minute. Was there work going on? Not yet. But what is he talking about? These are prophetic proclamations of what is going to happen and seeing it as already done. So I didn't tell anybody yet. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in. You see the distress that we are in. He's pulling them all to the point where they understand we've got issues. How Jerusalem lieth waste and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, he says, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Listen, if that work was already happening, not the rest that did the work, as we see in verse 16, the last part of 16, then he won't be talking about, let us now build the wall of Jerusalem. The end of verse 16 was a prophetic declaration. But notice, he is discreet. And now that he is ready, he's going to tell them, let's get to work. You see the problem? And we're a reproach. We must not be a reproach anymore. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Now he starts out. You see, God has been good to me. And I'm sure he begins to tell them how he got to come from being the wine taster or cupbearer for the king at Xerxes to having this military force come with him to the land. This was the doing of God. He didn't say it was the doing of Artaxerxes. It was God. Because if God did not override Artaxerxes, he will not get what he got. Message. Are you listening? The message is this. It does not matter what in the natural man is capable of doing or will do. God overrides. When you are called, God will override to make sure that what you are looking for, you get. But you have to have the mindset of God, birth and burning inside of you. He says, God's hand is good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And he said, let us rise up and build. They agreed. This is a conference of people coming to agreement with the vision. But his vision was in place first. And now that he shared it, they came into agreement. How did they come into agreement? They came into agreement because he included them at this point, at the right time, when he had the answers, when he knew what the problem was. Not because of what somebody told them, but because of what he saw and experienced himself. And he already defeated by stepping through that valley the dragon well and the dung pot. What is it that you need to defeat so that you can fulfill the destiny God has for you? Everything comes at the right time. Bible says, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. They strengthened their hands. Verse 19, but when Sambala the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and now there's a third person, and Geshem, the Arabian, Geshem, who is this guy? Geshem means rain. This guy is joining with them to rain on their parade. There's always an enemy that you did not see before that wants to rain on your parade, rain on whatever it is that you're trying to do. They began to laugh, us to scorn, and despised us, he says, and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? No, they're not rebelling against the king. The king is in support. But you see, if you don't know that you have that support, then the lies of the enemy will overwhelm you. If you do not know who you are, then the scorning and the laughter will overwhelm you and you will believe the lies of the enemy. You are a person of destiny. God has a plan for your life. There is an assignment he has called you to, and he is your helper. Be discreet and only speak clearly to the persons that can help you. Some of you open your mouth too wide, too quickly, saying everything to people that cannot help you. Let's go have coffee. And you just yap your vision and your purpose and everything away. You've not settled it in the realm of the spirit. What do you think is going to happen? The enemy is going to come there and speak lies into your spirit and cause you to begin to doubt yourself. What are they doing, scorning and laughing? You think you're going to come here and build something? there's been all kinds of people who've been trying that nonsense and they failed. Don't you know that the walls have been burnt down, broken and messed up? You think you can build something with this? Come on. It is so bad. And if you're not getting it yet, do get it. Your destiny blocker will try to discourage you from what is happening inside of you for the greater purposes of God. Destiny blockers will try to upset your cart. That's right. But you are not there because of them. You are there because you have an assignment and you have a service to bring to those that have need of it. The Lord says, if you go to a place and you're preaching to them and they reject you, he says, just shake the dust off of your sandals. He said, the dust from your feet will stand as a sign against them. That's right. I am a strong believer that when people have made up their minds to do evil, that there's nothing you can do about it. They're going to do whatever it is they're going to do. And they're going to say whatever it is they're going to say. So when I see that, I just mark it. It's just a matter of time. They're going to do whatever it is they want to do. And there's nothing you're going to do about it to change it. So stop wasting your time and your energy trying to convince somebody who thinks that you're a rebel to the things of God when God has authorized you to do something from doing it. Just do what you know God has called you to do. Amen? Don't allow the Geshems of this world to reign on you, because that's exactly what Geshem wants to do. He wants to rain on your parade and make certain that you don't get where you need to get. But notice, remember what we talked about last week. On one hand, we have Sanballat, which stands for strength. We have Tobiah. Tobiah stands for the goodness of Jehovah. That's what that name means. That means you have somebody that has a name that should be supportive of you, but they are not. And you've met those people. And you wonder, wait a minute, aren't you a Christian? You should be doing this. How come you're going against everything God has called me to do? You are in this office, and you should be standing with me to make things right, but you are the one who is working with the strong man to come against me. And now you're joining with somebody else that wants to reign on God's plan and purpose for my life. What is this? They are your blockers. Why are they blocking you? Because you are coming to take over what is rightfully yours. That's why. They want to occupy the space that belongs to you. But this is what God says, overturn, overturn, overturn. Hear that. You see, Apostle, why are you sharing this with us? Because your story is about to change, that's why. And your great change is my good success. You got to succeed for me to succeed. I got to succeed so that you can succeed. We are here to help each other grow and to fulfill our divine mandate. But the enemy, you need to identify in the realm of the spirit. What is wrong with rain? Rain waters. There's nothing wrong with that. What is wrong with Jehovah is good. There's nothing wrong with that. What is wrong with strength? Nothing wrong with that either. But that's the camouflage of the enemy. He pretends to be light. Now there's going to be somebody listening to me right now and say, oh my goodness, is this person? No. Don't go about suspecting people. Come on, please. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you identifying people that are going to go against and be grieved by every little thing you do, by everything you're intending to do. They are grieved in their spirit. I was saying to somebody recently, I watch for the silent one in a meeting when there's a solution, a problem to be resolved, and you're trying to resolve a particular situation. I watch for that silent person, because sometimes the resistor is the one whose mouth is shut. They're the ones that are manipulating things behind the scenes. Check out. If the enemy is checking you out in the realm of the spirit, check the enemy out in the realm of the spirit. So how do I do that? You commit them to the Lord. And I'm coming because I'm going to share some very serious things with you that I may not have spelled out in very clear words in the past, because some heads got to roll. If David is going to get ahead in life, he had to get ahead. Yes, he had to get the head of Goliath. You know what Goliath means? Naked and ashamed. When you are operating in your own strength, you become naked and ashamed, just like Adam and Eve. But when you are in consultation with God and you receive the righteousness of God, God establishes you to overcome. Praise the Lord. Hear that? Hallelujah. Word of God says, "Then answered I them," he answered them, "and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us." We're not doing this in our strength and our power. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, the servants of the God of heaven, will arise and build. But ye, this is important, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Whatever rights you had is gone. You and I must take a stand and declare that the devil has no rights here. Whatever rights you had before, that document is torn apart. It is destroyed. I belong to God. I'm a servant of God, and I'm here to do the bidding of my God. He put this vision inside of me that this will happen, and there's nothing you can do about it. Oh, do you think that went well? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Anyhow, they are so upset. And in chapter 3, we start seeing the building of the walls. And who starts it? The priests start. And what is this? What do they build first? They build the sheep gate. And what I want you to see in this passage of Scripture, I'm not going to go through chapter 3. I'm going to go to chapter 4 in a moment. But in chapter 3, the priests start the building. Halfway to the building of this whole unit are the kings, or people that had money. And then it continued, and when it was all done, the walls and the gates that the priests built locked together with what the business people put together. The priests started halfway into the building of the walls are the business people, and wrapping it up all, business people. And the wall is built. It is put together. And now let's go to chapter 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. That's all the enemy can do, get angry. get the enemy of your soul very angry. He cannot do anything. All he can do is trash himself, be angry, and get nowhere. They heard it, and they were wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. Oh, from scorning, now they're mocking. What are they saying when they're mocking? Watch this, verse 2. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria. You see, he had the army of Samaria because Sambalat was in charge of the area of Samaria. And said, what do these feeble Jews, this is his language, what are these feeble, lazy Jews doing? Feeble? But they've built the wall that you said they could not build. Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Who's talking about sacrifice? Because the enemy knows that when they built that wall, they were going to begin to make sacrifices and give unto God. People of destiny end up honoring God with their giving when they know that this is the doing of the Lord. I did not do it by my might or by my power, but by the Spirit of God. Are they going to sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Are they going to stop things that we've been doing in a day? Yes. Yes. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Are they going to revive those stones? Yes. But what stones? We're not just talking about the stones of the stones of building walls like that, but we're talking about the stones of people. Living stones. God is going to revive his people. This whole thing that has traumatized the church for centuries, made us look like we're weak. Oh no, this giant, the sons of the Most High God, are rising up. Revival. Because, you see, God is pushing the reset button. That's right. That which was weak is being strengthened. And the enemy is saying, how? Basically, with all of his confessions and all his declarations, he was saying, wow, how did that happen? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? They already did. That's right. It's done. It's finished. It's completed. Verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Okay, well, we accept, they built it. But if a fox just climbs that thing, the whole wall is going to fall apart. They don't have the right material to do it. No, the right material they had was God. And whatever it is that had happened in the past was no longer determining their future. They were determining what was going to happen because they were in agreement with God. And Church of Jesus Christ, I want to say to you that the answer is not in what the enemy is declaring. The answer is in God and in your willingness to build with what God has left you to work with. He is still God. In your business, he's still God. In your family, he's still God. In your church, he's still God. You are busy mocking. And this is the response of the man of God. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. They're despising us. And turn their reproach. This is what you do. And I'm going to build more on this in the days to come. But this is what he's saying right now. Because you cannot allow your enemy, who doesn't want you to succeed in life, to keep on running rampant. He says, turn their reproach upon their own head. Whatever it is that they are saying, turn it on them and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. They've provoked you to anger before the builders. How does he know that? Because the builders are angry. And as long as I am upset about what they are doing, I know you are upset. So let their sin not be blotted out from before you. Verse 6. Having declared that, he says, so built we the wall. We just kept at it. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. The message that we must get from this is this. Yes, God was willing for it to happen. Yes, they had destiny helpers. Yes, they had destiny blockers. But they had to see themselves as a people of destiny and put their mind to work. Glory and peace. Church of the Living God. If you set your mind to work, you sold out to the vision of God over your life. Say, I don't know what the vision is. Well, it's simple. Go preach the gospel. Make disciples of nations. What other plan do you have? Whatever it is that we need to do to win souls, that's what we do. That's our calling. That's our assignment. It's just to win souls. Bring people into the kingdom. Cause these beat up, burnt up stones to become revived, lively stones. The people had a mind to work. I thank God for the people that God has given to us in this house that have the mind to work. I remember well back in, I think it was March of last year or maybe April, one of the sons in this house said, you know, listen, if they're going to shut down everything, you know, I'm going to come, I'm going to leave my house, and I'm going to come stay in the church. I'm going to be living inside the church. And to make sure that the message goes forth. I said, you're going to do what? Say yes. Well, that is a passion to make sure that lives are changed. Why do I give? I give because I want to see lives changed. Whatever I do for that cause. You know, there are times when, well, I don't like saying I'm tired, but there are times when I am totally wiped because I went to bed at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning and wake up at 6:30 in the morning. I'm doing that day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out for months on end. And sometimes your body says, well, guess what? Grace is sufficient that empowers so that you can continue to do what God has called you to do. I'm not burning my candles on both sides. I am doing whatever I do based on the strength of the Lord. I got a text from somebody at 4-something the other day, one of the sons in this house, and I said, hey, this person is still working at 4:30. He's sending out text messages at 4:30 a.m. in the morning. Well, When you are driven by the grace of God, you do what you got to do. You have the mind to work. My spiritual father, Papa Cerullo, was like that, driven to work. Oh my. That man in his 80s was moving at a pace that got young people who, some of them who just saw it as a job, not a calling, all worn out. When will he slow down? When will he slow down? When will he slow down? He finished what he needed to do. He had a mind to work. I was sharing with a dear man of God. He's going to be speaking to us not too long from now. And he lost the daughter recently. And as I was talking with him, he said, my daughter wrote 21 books in 3 months. 21 books. Can you imagine that? Can you just imagine? 21 books written in 3 months. That was somebody who was driven. Driven to complete her assignment. My question to you, if you see yourself as a person of destiny, and every one of us need to see ourselves that way, is this. What is driving you? Oh, there are blockers. There are people who are going to try to block you. But there are people who are there to help you. Notice that every one of them, the people who had the mind to work, became automatically people of destiny and also destiny helpers. Because Nehemiah couldn't build that wall himself. But they carried the vision and administered it. Let's go up to verse 9. Verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites, can you see there's more of them added now? Now we have the Arabians, and then we have the Ammonites, and we have the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped. Then they were very wrath. You say, oh, I'm doing the will of God. I won't have more enemies. Are you kidding yourself? The more enemies you have trying to stop you tells you that you are heading in the right direction. The enemy doesn't have any time to waste with trying to stop you if you're doing nothing. They added. Why are they adding more? Because Sanballat and Tobiah went to talk to the Arabian, and they went to the Ammonites, and they went to the Ashdodites, and they are busy spreading rumors about these people. These people are going to come back, and they're going to take over, and they are very wrought. They are very angry. I said, get angry. Doesn't matter. It's not going to stop anything. What God has called his church to accomplish, the church of Jesus Christ is going to accomplish. The devil's a liar. And whatever God has called you to accomplish, you're going to accomplish. Yes, there might be so many people sitting at the table trying to wreck whatever it is that you're trying to do. Never be afraid. It's all talk, all noise. You're a child of destiny, and God is the master helper. He's promised you, don't be dismayed, and don't be afraid. I am your God, and I'm with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. All the enemy is doing is just talk. And there's a solution. Nehemiah hinted on it already. And in the next little while, I'm going to share with you the block of what you need to do. But if you're not a person of destiny, this doesn't work for you. And if you're not a destiny helper, this doesn't work for you either. 8. He says, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Point. Get it? Faith without works is dead. They knew the enemy was coming after them. They prayed to God, but they did not just stop by just praying to God. They set a watch. They put people on those walls to surveil the whole area, to identify who it is that was coming in and who was going out. What are you doing? Do you have a surveillance system to watch out for the enemy in the realm of the spirit and in the natural? You think things just happen? Because you have a destiny doesn't mean that you're not going to be confronted. And because you're confronted doesn't mean that you're going to lose, no matter how many. You win. I win. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Say with me today, I'm a child of destiny. And I have destiny helpers. And every destiny blocker is eradicated from my life. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, not the best place to stop, but I'm going to stop here tonight. But I want you to be encouraged in your spirit. I want you to recognize this, that you and I are going to fulfill our destiny in God. Now, whatever it is that God has assigned for us to do, we will accomplish. It doesn't matter how many enemies stand in the way, trying to impede, trying to hinder what it is that we're trying to do. They are all defeated. Their plans are brought to naught, and judgment, the judgment of God, is going to fall upon them. And God is going to make certain that they know that He is God and they are not. If you allow the enemy to intimidate you, then you have not surrendered yourself to God. And you must push that reset button and make sure that you realign yourself with God. How best can I put it to you this evening? The Word of God says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Don't become lukewarm in your faith. Don't become one who loses sight of who God is. Loses sight of the Word of God. Somebody sent me a nice cartoon the other day. And it had, who slew Goliath? And it had dot, dot, V-I-D. And the the person who was responding to that dot dot vid who slew Goliath said COVID. I thought that was funny. COVID. It fills the dot dot. But as you allowed yourself not to be connected to the things of God, that your answer might be the same thing, COVID, and not David. You find whatever it is that fits and not God. You know, if I gave you scrambled letters and said, who is your best friend? And there are three letters. There's an O, there's a D, and a G. What will your answer be? Dog or God? That's a decision you need to make in your life. As a follower of God, you rise. As a dog, you go for the crap. Choose. You make a decision. This is a moment for decision making about what your life is going to end up being. Are you going to be a destiny, a person of destiny who has destiny helpers and defeats destiny blockers? Or are you a person who sides with destiny blockers, but you have wonderful names like strength, like rain? Huh? Like God is good, but you are blocking. Where do you stand? What's your life about? Are you one who celebrates people when they are succeeding or when they share their vision and you're celebrating them and saying, how can I help you make it happen? Or are you there conniving and trying to see how you can make sure that they don't make it so that you can gather what they didn't have to work with and build something yourself? What are you? You're a destiny helper. A destiny blocker. I've met both groups, destiny helpers who have helped me. And I've met destiny blockers who say one thing in front of you, but they are undermining everything you're trying to do. But what I can guarantee you is this: you will outlast all blockers if you are sold out to doing what God has for you. When they think that you are going to lose, you keep on rising. So be encouraged in your heart today to connect with God and let God reign supreme in your life. He's more than enough. And when you connect with Him, then ask yourself, what can I do as a corresponding action to fulfill the mandate that God has called me to? Because your destiny helpers come in stages. There are some destiny helpers that are there that will finance you. There are other destiny helpers that will come alongside of you and give you natural resources. Like I have destiny helpers right here behind the camera. Destiny helpers right there at the soundboard. Destiny helpers at the switchboard. Destiny helpers all over who are helping to make sure that this message comes to you. Everybody needs somebody. I need you to help me fulfill God's mandate. You need me to help you fulfill God's mandate. We need each other. Let's get to it and get the work done because we set our minds to work. Rise with me wherever you are and pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for that which you've shared with us tonight. There is much more, O God, to be shared. I pray, O God, that every word that is coming forth out of my mouth helps every individual, that they hear what they need to hear as individuals and hear what they need to hear as a corporate group of people, your church, that we fulfill your divine mandate. I thank you, Lord, O God, that your anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens is flowing in and through us even now. I declare by the authority of your word that every destiny blocker, Father, O God, be blocked. Shut them down. Shut them down. Let them, O God, fight against each other and cancel themselves out in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare, O God, that every child of destiny be empowered, O God, to fulfill that divine mandate. Lord, O God, give to your sons and your daughters the resources they need to accomplish what you have assigned for them to do. Hallelujah. I give you praise, Father. Thank you, God, for glorious support. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. It's come to my notice that some of us have not been faithful in our giving. I want to encourage you to be faithful, to be steadfast in your giving, and I want to thank God for everyone that has been so radical and faithful in their giving. They just, whether we are gathered in this building or not. Some of you I know are giving your offering, your tithe and your offerings, even before the service starts, a day before. And that's a good thing. I want to encourage you to continue to faithfully do what you know you should do. And if you're not, please, I encourage you to be obedient to the directives of God. Don't procrastinate about your giving. It blesses you and it blesses the purposes of God. When you delay in your giving concerning the things of God, you are sowing into delays in your own personal life. Things that should have happened on time or before time start happening at the wrong time, and you start pulling your hair out because you are petrified and messed up. I do not say this because I'm looking for something from you. I have known God to be a provider. And I've seen God, you know, speak to people from distant lands to send funds, resources into this house, into this ministry. I didn't go looking for it or go asking for it. It's happened. So when I say to you who are in this house, in this family of saints, about your giving, that you honor God with your giving, don't sell your birthright to somebody else so that somebody else is busy doing things and accomplishing things and you are struggling. That is not your portion. That's not your story. Amen? So be encouraged in your giving and just do what it says for you to do. Honor God. That's not a hard thing to do. It's a glorious thing to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to wrap up this evening. I'm going to pray at the end again. But at this point, I'd like us to be reminded that this week coming, starting Friday, this week coming, is the Spiritual Reset Conference. Please spread the word. Let others know that this conference is going to happen. And God wants you and I to push that reset button. Turn things around. Listen to it. Amen. Father, I bless your sons and your daughters tonight. Lord, raise them up by your Spirit. Birth within them your dreams, your vision, your hopes, your desires. And grace them, O God, with the ability to fulfill every mandate. Let every power of darkness assigned against their progress meet with absolute failure even now in Jesus' mighty name. But raise them up, everyone, by your Spirit. Raise them up to experience you to the fullest. Lord, O God, honor your name, O God, in every son and every daughter. And may the Sanballats and Tobias of this world and all the presence of the enemy be cut off. In the mighty name of Jesus, cut them off and help your people. This is my declaration, mighty Yahweh, in Yeshua's name, I decree it so done. Amen. And amen. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. May the Lord continue to strengthen and uphold you. And may his peace garrison your heart. See you this Wednesday for another powerful time in the presence of the Lord. And of course, on Friday, we begin our special meetings. Good night. Love you guys. See you. Now I'll talk to those on Zoom. All right.